The Detroit Tigers have the second best record in Major League Baseball right now. Are we wrong? Yes, welcome back to another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here on the Inside Baseball Network. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at TroyBBaseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can find him on the Twitter machine at DrewCrabtree12. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, give us a five-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to FirstPitchPodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And we are going to get to the Detroit Tigers and what they have done to start so far this year and how they are tied with the Los Angeles Dodgers for the second best record in Major League Baseball right now. But Drew, we got to get to you first, man. How was your weekend? You had an extended weekend. Was it fun? You have some fun this weekend?
The reason for the extended weekend isn't fun. It's Workers' Memorial. Fallen Workers Memorial Day. My stepdad passed away at work on November 3rd, 2021. Yeah. It's been so long. It really has. There's a whole lot of nonsense going on with it. But I went out to Washington, D.C. with my family. We hung out. We ate some really good food. And that part of it was definitely fun. I did enjoy it. And then we came back, and I got to enjoy this weekend off from work with my wife and my daughter. So,
yeah. So at least part of it was fun, though. You did a good thing in the process. So, yeah. Extended weekend for Drew. Extended weekend for myself. My mother-in-law got married, so we went to New Orleans and did New Orleans things, and I am still exhausted. So it might be a short show today. We'll find out. But it's we did have a full slate of baseball games yesterday because 4, 8, 12, 16. We actually had 16 baseball games yesterday on a Sunday. And Sunday we normally have a full slate of games, and I have not paid attention to much baseball at all over the past few days. But the Mets and the Nationals got us started, and the Nationals won that one 8-7, and I'm pretty sure the Nationals won 2 of 3 from the Mets, so don't sleep on the Nationals. And yeah, Nationals move to 13-15, Mets fall to 19-9. Red Sox at the Guardians. Red Sox win that one 13-3. They moved to 16-14. Guardians fall to 15-12. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about this. I did see this, Drew. I think you probably saw this as well. It was all over my Twitter. The Guardians fan that was talking smack to Jaren Duran about his mental health issues and how he should have followed through with what he did not do a couple of years ago. Ain't cool, man. I hope Major League Baseball follows suspends that guy, bans him for life, because that's not cool. It's not cool to mess with people and their mental health, and especially when somebody has as dark of a moment as Jaren Duran had a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, that's gross. That fan should absolutely be barred from any kind of major minor league, any kind of baseball game, because that's pretty messed up. Because you don't do that, man. I don't care. You're just trying to get in their head or be annoying. There's a guy in San Francisco that calls everybody a bum in the closest player that's to him. And I found that guy on TikTok, and he's freaking hilarious. But no, that Guardians fan, feel bad. I know that you listen to this podcast. Feel bad.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like the example of the guy in San Francisco, there is a way to heckle people, and heckling is fine to a point, but this man certainly crossed the line. And
lighthearted heckles are funnier than anything, because if you can get that player to react in some way, it's great. But if you're telling someone that they should have followed through, you're just a bad human being.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Excuse me. Tigers hosted the Orioles this weekend. Tigers won the final game 7-0. Tariq Skubal is now 3-2 with a 2.34 ERA. Tigers move to 18-10. Orioles fall to 10-17 and continue to be one of the worst teams in baseball. Angels at the Twins. Twins win 5-0 to move to 12-16. Angels fall to 12-15. Astros at the Royals. Astros win 7-3. Hunter Brown is now 4-1 with a 1.22 ERA. Fantastic start to the season for him. Astros are 14-13. Royals fall to 14-15. Chris Bubich gets the loss, and his ERA drops to 2.25. Brewers at the Cardinals. Brewers win that one 7-1. Brewers move to 14-15. Cardinals fall to 12-16. Two teams that are behind the one of the teams in the next game we're going to talk about. But Quintana did get the win in that one. He's 4-0 with a 1.14 ERA. Good start to the year for him. Reds at the Rockies. Reds win that one 8-1 to complete the sweep. They are now 15-13. Rockies are the worst team in baseball per win-loss, and they are 4-23. Nick Lodolo got the win 3-2, 2.25 ERA. And I think he had a no-hitter pretty late in that one, Drew.
It took the Rockies until two outs in the sixth to get a hit off of him, and even then it was an infield hit that Ellie De La Cruz barely missed out on. It was a weird, awkward short hop that he had to go back, make a play, fire it across the infield at 150 miles an hour, and it pulled Spencer Steer a little bit off the bag. No, Nick Lodolo, very good at throwing baseballs. He's had two bad outings. The two before this one wasn't great. But no, I've said it on the Twitter, and someone tried to mock me. I'm like, Nick Lodolo, when he's on, has no hitter stuff, because the way that he pitches, it can be so efficient. Disgusting. Some of his pitches yesterday were just straight up nasty. He was on it. He was feeling it. And I'm very happy that the lineup backed him up with some run support. Ellie De La Cruz and Gavin Lux. 11-game hit streaks going on right now. Hey. Very happy about this. And then obviously Austin Hayes is continuing his MVP candidacy. So,
well, since his return, he has been y'all's best player offensively. So it's pretty crazy how that works out, and how not having a kidney infection that spreads to your brain will make you a better baseball player. But Giants hosted the Rangers this weekend. They won this one 3-2. Giants are now 19-10. Rangers fall to 15-13. Giants are a half game back. So I did lie. Tigers are tied for the third best record in Major League Baseball. But the Tigers are a half game back of the Mets for the best record in baseball. And the Rangers are 15-13. White Sox at the Athletics. Athletics take this game 3-2 in extras. Athletics are now 14-14. White Sox fall to 7-21. I think that was the first game that went to extras yesterday, and the one of only two. Dodgers hosted the Pirates. They beat the Pirates in this one 9-2. They moved to 18-10. Pirates fall to 11-18. Ben Kasperias gets the win 3-0, 2.91 ERA. Rays at the Padres. Rays win 4-2 to move to 14-14. Padres fall to 17-11. And Braves at the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks won this one 6-4. They are now 15-13. Braves are 12-15. Schwellenbach got the loss again. He's had a rough stretch of it his past few starts, but he is now 1-2 with a 2.87 ERA. Marlins at the Mariners. Mariners won 7-6. They are now 16-12. Marlins fall to 12-15. Max Meyer got the loss in this one. He's 2-3 with a 3.18 ERA. I think the Reds broke him when they faced him a week or two ago. Phillies at the Cubs, Sunday Night Baseball. The doubleheader is listed last on this, so we'll get to that later. But the Phillies at the Cubs were Sunday Night Baseball, and the Phillies won 3-1, taking 2 of 3 from the Cubs. However, the Cubs did win 8 of 14 of this rough stretch that they had between the Padres, Dodgers, Phillies, and Diamondbacks. But the Phillies won this one 3-1 in extras. Jordan Romano got the save. Jose Alvarado got the dub. Aaron Nola pitched fantastically through 7 innings, only allowing 1 run. Did not watch it. Saw the box score. And then the doubleheader. Yankees won both. They won the first one 11-2, won the second one 5-1. Yankees are now 17-11. Blue Jays fall to 13-15. Max Fried got the win in game one. He is now 5-0 with a 1.43 ERA. American League Cy Young contender. And then Chris Bassett got the loss in the second one. His ERA is now above 2, but still sub 3 at 2.62. Any final thoughts on yesterday's games, Drusev?
Red swept the Rockies, which is exactly what I asked them to do, and which is exactly what they're supposed to do. And they're now a game and a half from the Cubs for the division, shooting high. But I do want to give out some flowers to this young guy in Miami. Their new catcher, Augustin Ramirez, is legitimately tearing it up. Obviously, it's a tiny little sample size of 5 or 6 games. But in those 5 games, he's got 9 hits off of 19 at-bats. He's slashing .474, .524, 1.158. The only game in which he didn't have multiple hits was on the 26th, where he had 0 hits. He went 0-for-4. He's only got 2 strikeouts. He's walked twice. He's got a stolen base. He's got 5 RBI. He's got 3 home runs on the year. Last night he had 2. Marlins might have someone. They might have something here. I know that behind the plate he's a little rough, and he definitely needs to get going there. He's got a couple of pass balls. He's definitely not there when it comes to framing, but he's 23 years old right now. They might have themselves at least a really good designated hitter until he can get that defense going. I was trying to think of a good comparison for him, just in general of being an awesome bat and letting him work out the kinks defensively. And all I could come up with was Eugenio Suarez, because when he came up to the majors with the Reds, he was god awful in the field. And now he's hitting 4 home runs in a game. He's one of the best power hitters in baseball right now. And I love it because Eugenio Suarez is a great dude. But keep an eye out for this Augustin Ramirez. He's 23 years old, and he's tearing the hide off that baseball right now.
Yeah. And he was a part of that Jazz Chisholm Jr. trade with the New York Yankees. But yeah, what he's done so far has been fantastic. And yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Drew. I did forget to mention that Eugenio Suarez hit 4 home runs in a game on Saturday night, which, by the way, and I don't know how true this is, but I did see a tweet that said that hitting 4 home runs in a game is more rare than a perfect game. I don't know how true it is. I did not look into that. But I'm sure it is even more rare to hit 4 home runs in a game and then have your team lose that game, because the Diamondbacks did, in fact, lose that game to the Braves in extra innings. But Eugenio Suarez, first batter in Major League Baseball to reach double-digit home runs this year. So good on Eugenio Suarez. And good on the Detroit Tigers for what they've been able to accomplish to this point in the season. They have they've been fantastic. It's been led by their pitching staff, which I did not have much faith in, especially the rotation behind Tarik Skubal coming into this season. And Tarik Skubal did get off to a rough start in his first couple of starts, but he is back at it. He now has a 2.34 ERA. But the question is, to this point in the season, roughly reaching 30 games, were we wrong about the Detroit Tigers coming into the season? Are they legitimate contenders?
I think they might be. At the very least, playoffs. Because just like the NL Central, the AL Central is not strong. So the AL Central just might be theirs to lose. I still have a little bit of faith in the Guardians and to catch up with them. But no, I think that the Tigers have this division now. They're off to an awesome start. And I think that one of the big reasons, obviously, you mentioned the rotation. Javier Baez doesn't suck at baseball this year. When he was with the Cubs, 2-time All-Star, he was those 2 seasons, he was great, 6.8, 6.7 WAR. And then he made his way to the Mets. He was all right. And then that first season in Detroit, 2.4 WAR. Awesome. The following season, 2023, in 136 games, he accumulated 0.8 WAR. He's at 0.7 now in 23 games. Last year, he was actually bad. He was at minus 1.1 war. Javier Baez is slashing 301, 346, 370, which means he's not exactly popping, but he's getting on base, and he's accumulating all that fun little B war, and he's helping out his team in a big way. Obviously, we know that he's good with the glove, but he's finally, you know, getting back to the Javier Baez that the Mets expected, that they traded for, and then that Detroit signed to that big contract. I think that's a big reason, because you can't have your 32-year-old, you know, shortstop, your infielder, paid all that money and generate negative WAR and expect to win. I think that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to see if he as well as the rest of the bats in the lineup can keep up this pace.
Yeah, and to that lineup's credit, as a team, they do have a 717 OPS entering today, good enough for 11th in Major League Baseball, which is solid, because the team they're immediately ahead of, the Philadelphia Phillies. The team that they're two spots ahead of, the San Diego Padres. So, yeah, their offense has been better than both the Phillies offense and the Padres offense to this point in the season. And again, the pitching staff has been one of the best in baseball. The pitching staff as a whole, not just the rotation, their entire pitching staff has a team ERA of 2.80, which is second in Major League Baseball behind only the New York Mets. And they're one of only three teams with an ERA below of sub three, San Diego Padres being the other one at 2.82. And of course, their starting pitching has a 2.89 ERA, which means, for those of you keeping track at home, the relievers have a better ERA, and it is 2.66. So both the starting staff and the relievers have just been very, very good this season. And yeah, Drew is spot on that, you know, Javier Baez has not sucked at baseball. He's got an OPS of 716, and he's got 22 hits in 23 games. And that's not something you expect to see from Javier Baez with what he's shown us since leaving the Cubs, really since his last season with the Cubs, honestly, because he wasn't even great in his last season with the Cubs. And so, you know, maybe he has figured things out. He does not have any home runs. He does not have any triples, but he does have five doubles. And maybe that is part of what has gotten better for him. He doesn't have any home runs to this point. Maybe he's not trying to hit home runs. Maybe he's, you know, just trying to put the ball in play, trying to go gap to gap. And there are multiple players in Major League Baseball who aren't capable of being home run guys. And while Javier Baez does have home runs in his career, maybe he's realized, I'm a little older now. I was never really that strong. Maybe I should go gap to gap. And I could be way off base. I haven't watched the play. I don't know. But that is just the way I'm looking at his line. And yeah, he's helped him out with the glove. He's played multiple positions this year. And it's kind of picked up the slack where their superstar player, Riley Green, has not really had the best season to this point. He has a 655 OPS. And out of the five players on the team who qualify for the batting title, he is in fourth on the team with his 655 OPS, because not only does Javier Baez not suck this season, but Spencer Torkelson also doesn't suck this season. And he leads the team in OPS at 930. And he has eight doubles, eight home runs, 26 hits in 28 games, 16 walks, tied with Zach McKinstry for the team lead in walks with 16. And is Torkelson back? Is this going to be one of those every other year things like Bruce Bochy? Does Spencer Torkelson have every other year batting magic?
I think that they might be all right this year. I think that they're starting to actually figure it out, and they're not. I mean, at least I hope, because, you know, in years past we've had the Pirates start off hot and then end up with 85, 90 losses in the year just because. I think that the Tigers might actually do it between, you know, Dylan Dingler Spencer Torkelson, you know, Javi, you know, Zach McKinstry, they got bats up and down the lineup that can actually do something for you. The Zach McKinstry, he's got 7 extra base hits, 3 of which are triples to this point already. He's getting a triple for less than 1 every 9 games. Like, they're seeing the ball well to this point. And again, like I said, with the division, it's winnable. Anybody can take it. And I think the Tigers saw that and they're like, you know what? Why not? Let's go for it. And then once you make the playoffs, all bets are off. You can have a little fun Linsanity run and make a little noise no matter who you're matched up against. So now I'm buying into the Tigers at this point. You don't start off this hot as a fluke. There have been times that baseball teams will start off hot, but I think the way that they're doing this speaks to how they've built their team. You know, AJ Hinch, other than the whole, you know, cheating thing that hangs over his head in his time in Houston, he's a good manager. Like, managers, you know, can't win games. They can definitely lose them, but he's definitely helping them win baseball games this year.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not very often that I'm wrong. You can ask my wife and she'll tell you that I'm wrong a lot. So don't ask my wife, but it's not very often that I'm wrong, in my opinion. And I may have been wrong about the Detroit Tigers because I did not see them coming back to the playoffs this year. And I was very adamant about that in the offseason leading into this year. And as you pointed out, it is the, as like the National League Central, it is still the American League Central, and it's pretty mid for the most part, but the Tigers might be legitimate playoff contenders with what they've shown us so far. I mean, it's 30 games. We're coming to the point where it's no longer a small sample size. So it's starting to become more and more of a, hey, this might actually be the case, because again, we're coming up on 30 games, and it's, you know, I was right about Shedeur Sanders and how he was not going to be a first round pick because he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback. But I might have been wrong about the Detroit Tigers. And, you know, I'll admit when I'm wrong. It just doesn't happen very often, so I don't have to admit it that often. But, yeah, the Detroit Tigers might be legit, and they might make it to the playoffs, and it's going to be exciting if they do because, as Drew pointed out, anything can happen. You can go on a Linsanity run in the playoffs. And they swept the Houston Astros in the wild card round last year when they made the playoffs. So, and then they took the Cleveland Guardians to – the full 5 games before the Guardians moved on to face the Yankees. So it's Tigers might be somebody to watch moving forward. And only today we have 8 games to watch. So not a full slate, but we do have baseball, and there is day baseball, though it is the Mets. So if you like watching the Mets, you can watch that game, I guess, but not, I don't know why people would want to watch the Mets. 4:05 PM Eastern, Mets at the Nationals. Griffin Canning on the mound for the Mets. Trevor Williams for the Nationals. Mets look to move to 20-9. Nationals look to complete the series victory. I did not know this was a wraparound series, but they do have 2 of 3 so far, and they look to take the 3rd of 4 from the overrated Mets. 6:10 PM Eastern, Twins at the Guardians. Twins look to move to 13-16. Guardians look to move to 16-12. Bailey Ober, Gavin Williams, the probables in that one. 6:35 PM Eastern, Yankees at the Orioles. Will Warren at Tomoyuki Sugano. Yankees look to move to 18-11. Orioles look to move to 11-17. 5 minutes later, Cardinals at the Reds. Cardinals look to move to 13-16. Reds look to move to 16-13. Palante at Nick Martinez. And that one, Drew, what you got for that one?
It would be cool if Nick Martinez throws baseballs good today. He hasn't really done that to this point, but I think that the lineup is starting to really heat up the road trip, especially, you know, the Baltimore and then against the Rockies. Obviously, it's still the Rockies. You know, you're playing a 4A team at this point. No, I think they'll be all right. The Cardinals did take, I think, 2 of 3 from the Brewers. Last night, the Brewers won to prevent that sweep, which would have been insane. Now, the Reds, like I said before, they just need to beat teams that they need, that they are supposed to beat. I think that they are a slightly better than 500 team at this point, and they need to be beating all of the teams that are worse than 500, or the ones that will finish worse than 500. And I think the Cardinals aren't trying to win baseball games this year, so they need to take care of business here. And it's always nice beating the Cardinals. No one likes the Cardinals except Cardinals fans. It's just, yeah, beating the Dirty Birds is always a fun time.
Yep. I don't like the Cardinals. So there you go. 8:05 p.m. Eastern, Athletics at the Rangers. J.P. Sears, Patrick Corbin, two lefties in that one. Athletics look to move to 15-14. Rangers look to move to 16-13. 5 minutes later, T. Gray's at the Astros. Jack Flaherty versus Ronel Blanco. Tigers look to move to 19-10. Astros look to move to 15-13. 30 minutes later, the Braves travel to Colorado to take on those Rockies. Bryce Elder at Tyler Feltner. Braves look to move to 13-15. Rockies look to move to 5-23. I do want to point out real quick just something about the Braves that I noticed yesterday, because I had somebody tell me that the Braves were still not a good team. Over their last 10 games, including yesterday's loss, they are 7-3 after starting 5-12. They got out of the gate slowly. And over their last 18 games, which dates back to the first game of the series against the Philadelphia Phillies, they are 11-7 over their last 18 games, which is a 99 win pace. So it's the Braves have turned it around after their rough start. They are still a World Series contender. I mean, it sucks. It's the Braves, and they're in the National League East, but they are still a World Series contender, and they are still a very, very good team. An hour and a half later, last game of the night, 10:10 p.m. Eastern, Marlins at the Dodgers. Marlins look to move to 13-15. Dodgers look to move to 19-10. Any final thoughts on today's slate of games, Drew?
I was gonna highlight the Braves. If there is going to be a time where they get back to 500, it's going to be a series in Colorado. They are 3 games under 500 right now. Like you said, that start was god-awful. They're 3 games under 500 now. They can be 500 after 30 games, despite how poorly they started this season. And they still don't have Ronald Acuna Jr. And they still don't have Spencer Strider. Because now he's back on the IL. Yep. It's the Braves, man. That's just how it's going to be. The Braves are just a good, they're a well-run organization. They're a good baseball team, and they just forgot that the season started on opening day. I can't relate to that. Any of my teams forget to play in the first month of the freaking season, Bengals. The Braves, they have, you know, that's why it's 162 games. They're going to be all right. I don't know if they're going to catch up to the Mets and or Phillies to get the division, because that's still quite the gap. But the Braves will still at least challenge for the wild card. And it's such great timing that they're facing the Rockies, because the Rockies can't hit, they can't field, they can't pitch. I don't know if they can walk and chew gum right now. They're in a sad, sad state of affairs. I saw that with my own eyes with this series. But no, the Braves are. Don't count the Braves out.
Yeah, absolutely. Another fun stat here: after starting 0-7, the Braves started the season 0-7. They are since 12-8 over their last 20. So it's any way you look at it, and I almost exited out of StreamYard on accident. Good God, that scared me. Any way you look at it, it's the Braves are a good team. And before we get out of here, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, Drew, the NFL guy. After this weekend, who was a better team? Who had the best draft? Was it the Bengals? Did our Bengals have the best draft?
No. I'm so mad at this draft. I'm so mad. They took a guy with, sure, he's got athletic upside, and he has a bunch of almost sacks in the first round, but they took him in the first. He had 4.5 career sacks. He had like one sack last year. They never contacted him in the pre-draft process. There's this whole thing. No, I am super frustrated with the Bengals draft. They addressed needs with, I'm so mad. Yeah. No, they did not have the best draft. I think the best draft was probably, you know, the Ravens or the Eagles or someone that actually runs a competent freaking franchise. But no, I have to root for the Bengals, who has two scouts. I'm credentialed at Ohio State football games, and I didn't see them at all this year. So frustrating. Ohio State had 14 guys drafted, and the Bengals were like, you know what? That's fine. I would have taken Donovan Jackson. That would have been awesome. A guard that can start, and he's going to be awesome. But no, we took a guy with no production at Texas A&M. Ooh, someone's like, well, he could be Myles Garrett. I'm like, Myles Garrett had like 40 sacks in his career at Texas A&M. This guy has 4. I'm so mad. It's so freaking annoying. And I don't want to think about it anymore.
Well, last question, and then I'll stop making you think about it. Was Cam Ward the right choice for the number one overall pick?
If they needed a quarterback, I don't think they had any other choices. Jackson Dart, I think, is booty. Shedeur Sanders, I think, is a decent quarterback, but obviously decent quarterback with all the circus going around it is not what you want. I personally probably would have went with Abdul Carter and tried to tank for one of these quarterbacks next year. I'm actually high on Gus Nussmeier from LSU, which is really weird because everyone's talking about Arch Manning, and I think Arch Manning's going to be good, but I think Gus has what it takes. I'm probably going to look back at this in a year and be like, wow, you're a moron. But personally, I think that like Abdul Carter – was the only can't miss prospect. I think Travis Hunter will be probably good. I do think that the Jaguars have a good plan for him, because that was crazy.
Yeah.
But in this draft class, the Titans needed a quarterback that wasn't named Aaron Rodgers, because that whole circus is going to be annoying. I think that Cam Ward was the right pick for them. I like Cam Ward. I don't know if he's a generational franchisey quarterback, but you know, I don't run the Titans.
Yeah, it's it was a weird draft. It was a weak quarterback class all the way around this year. And so I was honestly also surprised to see a quarterback being taken in the first as the first overall pick. And though I did say I didn't pay much attention to baseball, I was forced to pay attention to the draft because my mother-in-law married a former TCU offensive lineman. So it's there was a lot of football people there, and there was a lot of making sure we went to bars that had football coverage and draft coverage on, as well as my best friend who was there, who was like, oh, this guy got drafted this round. Oh, Shedeur Sanders still hadn't got drafted. Oh, Jalen Milroe, he went to so-and-so, which I think you actually told me that. I don't think he told me that. Where'd he go? Seattle?
Yeah, they intentionally, willingly used a draft pick on a quarterback that cannot throw the football. So, yeah, go Seahawks, I guess.
I think it would work if they put him in the Taysom Hill role that the Saints have used Taysom Hill. And I think that would have worked for Tim Tebow, too. Yeah. As if teams would have used him in that capacity as opposed to trying to force him to be a starting quarterback at the NFL level. I don't know why we talked about so much football. I started this, but it's a lot of football talk here to close out our baseball show. Thank you for joining us today on the First Pitch podcast, not the First Field Goal podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when more episodes go live. Excuse me.
Don't mind Troy as he's dying from his New Orleans bender.
Yeah. Whew. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can be notified, so they can get their daily source. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.